Welcome to today's podcast, Design for Life. This is the first in the series titled, Life and the Letters of the Apostle Paul. Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should it be lived that way. This podcast is taken from the Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. Here is Pastor Jim with this week's message, Spring Forward.
This morning I'd like to launch a spring series. That's kind of funny, isn't it? This morning, snow on the ground. I'd like to suggest that we take the season to sharpen our focus on one part of Scripture, the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, and his ministry, calling this set the life and letters of the Apostle Paul. We saw in our emphasis on faith in February, the faith factor, that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard in the words of Christ. The message of God is where your faith and my faith will blossom and grow. And so I'd like to take probably several months here at least to look at Paul's life from the book of Acts and then translate the book of Acts into the letters of Paul. As you read Acts, you're going to find him traveling in missionary journeys to various places in Asia Minor, even into Europe. And those letters, many of those, or those places, are encoded in letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to those churches, that many of which he started. The life and the letters of the Apostle Paul. But for starters, let's just ask and answer a couple of simple questions this morning. Why even bother? Why bother studying the life and letters of the Apostle Paul? Why even read the Bible? That's a fair question. I'd like to suggest that the Bible is the book of books. There's never been a book like it in human history. It has no rivals. It's the world's all-time bestseller. It has sold more copies. It is read by more people. It's been translated into more languages than any other human literature. The Bible. No book has comforted more souls, has intrigued more scholars, has inspired more songs and poetry, or promoted more goodwill than the Bible. Simultaneously, no book has been banned, banished, or burned more by totalitarian regimes and rogue dictators than has the Bible. It is and pretends to be or portrays itself as a revelation from God. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews, headed towards Revelation, not quite. Find there Hebrews chapter 1. And the writer of Hebrews tells us, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through prophets many times and in various ways. Over 2,000 times you'll find these words in the Bible. Then God said, or God spoke to, or then the word of the Lord came to. Over 2,000 times, this book suggests that it is God who is speaking in it or through it. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, face to face, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Bible is a revelation from God. It's a divine book. It's the Word of God. And it contains the message of salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It's a verse I memorized when I went to college. I was struck by the significance of this verse, living in a very secular situation in the dorms there. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you? Why not? The Bible tells us it has power to save lives, to save people, whoever believes. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. We saw this verse 17 here recently, didn't we, with the faith factor. Righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by, you got it. You're going to be right with God, you've got to trust him. Without faith, we saw it's impossible to please him. It's the message of salvation. It contains, thirdly, divine wisdom for living life. Another verse I memorized in college, Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? Boy, there wasn't a whole lot of purity kicking in the dorms that I lived in back then. How can a young man keep his way pure? David answers his own question, by living according to your word, by following the instructions of God's word. Later on in that same chapter, 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my... You want to know which way to go? You find yourself in a dark situation? Turn to the word of God. It'll lighten your path and enlighten your life. It's like a lamp. It's like a lantern. Paul said all scripture is God-breathed. It's God-breathed. The word literally is God-breathed. Some versions translate it inspired of God. And it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, and for training in righteousness. God's word is useful to you. It'll teach you something if you're willing to learn. It'll rebuke you from time to time if you're out of line. It will correct you when you are, get you back in line. And fourthly, it'll train you to live right. That's what the word of God can do for you. That's why you ought to study the word of God. So how do we study the Bible? How should we study it? Let me suggest two things. Do what you do for the newspaper. Remember the old days when we used to get a daily newspaper? How many of you miss the Daily Reporter? Not many. How many of you miss the Shopper's Guide? Now, be honest here. All of us do. Boy, I love the Shopper's Guide. You get that Shopper's Guide. Remember when it was two sections, you know, yellow and white, and you would read that thing two ways. You would read the Shopper's Guide to know what's in it, just to get a sense of what's in the shopper this week. But then secondly, you would study the Shopper's Guide for a good deal, wouldn't you? If you were short on something and looking in the shopper, you'd stop at that section when you see that advertisement and you'd mull over it. Boy, I don't know, that sounds a little bit expensive to me, but maybe I ought to give them a call and see if they'll lower the price, right? When you read a newspaper, typically you look at the headlines and you kind of scan this thing and you find out what's in the news for the day. But you may delay, if you're a sports fiend, on the sports scores. You're going to check the stats on one of your favorite players. Or if you're on a trip or headed for vacation here, you may delay in the weather section just to get a feel for what's the weather tomorrow. We're going to be driving. Or possibly you recognize a name in the obituaries. And so you halt there to find out the details of the death of a friend or colleague and when exactly the funeral. And I'd suggest that you ought to read the Bible the same way. You need to read the Bible to know what's in it, cover to cover. But then you need to delay in certain parts of the Bible to study its truth as it relates to you and your life. Read the Bible to know what's in it. Ancient history, doctrine, Old Testament doctrines are called law, poetry, poetic books, prophecy, as it relates to the New Testament, as well as to the second coming of Christ in the future. Read the Bible to know what's in it. Two sections of the Bible, as you know, the Old and New Testament, are the Old Covenant, Moses being the key figure there, and the New Covenant, Jesus Christ, ultimately a fulfillment of the Old. You've got 66 books in the Bible, some 40 authors, written over a span of some 1,600 years, written in three different languages and three different continents. It is a book without equal, the Bible. And as I suggested earlier, it has changed the lives and the destinies of untold millions, even to this day. Read the Bible to know what's in it. Study the Bible to apply its truth, its precepts, its principles, its promises, its prophecies, our truth. Frequently, that relates to your own personal life and circumstances. Now, how many of you had a parent, maybe a grandparent, a relative who you remember being a good student of the Bible? Somebody who read religiously the Bible in your family? Anybody besides me? You're fortunate if you did. My grandparents read their Bible daily together as a couple. I don't know how many years, but all the years that I knew them, any time that I visited them, they had a routine every morning to sit down over a cup of coffee and read the Bible together. And my grandpa was kind of a surrogate dad for me. When my dad died, my grandpa was there and stepped in a big way to that role as a model and a mentor for me. And frequently, my grandpa would recite scripture. He would share a verse with me. And I believe the verse that he most often shared, I learned by rote, by heart, because I heard him say it so much. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Do you know it? He'd say to me, "Jimmy boy, trust in the Lord with all your heart." And you don't have permission, by the way, to call me Jimmy boy. That was my grandpa's prerogative. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart," he'd say to me, "and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways," next line, "acknowledge him." And here comes the promise. You do those three things, Solomon tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and he will direct your paths. Some versions say he will make your paths straight. Wow. What an outstanding principle to guide your life by. It was his principle. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Notice it doesn't say to not use it. It says just don't lean on it. What do I lean on? The wisdom of God. In all your ways, and this may be a problem for some of us today. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. Is there any way in your life that doesn't acknowledge God this morning? Anything you're about or doing or been up to of late that you would be ashamed to admit or perhaps would be an embarrassment to you if in fact you faced off with God and he asked you about it? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And God says, "I'll direct your path. I'll give you direction. I'm going to lead you in your life. I promise. If you'll trust in me with all your heart, if you'll lean not on your own understanding, if you'll acknowledge me in your life, I'll direct your paths." You read the Bible to know what's in it. From time to time, we do a span through Genesis, all the way to Malachi, the Old Testament. Then we start up another section from Matthew, and we go all the way to Revelation. We read through the Bible. Normally, we read the Old Testament in a year and the New Testament in a year. It's kind of this band. We do that every 2 or 3 years. We'll kick off another read through the Bible plan. I think that's an excellent exercise for everyone. You need to read the Bible. Imagine going to heaven and running into some of the authors of Scripture. Let's say the Apostle John. Wouldn't you be embarrassed if you're crossing the street and you run into, hey, John, glad to meet you. I've heard a lot about you. And he says, I appreciate it. He says, hey, by the way, did you read my book? Now, I'm going to save you some embarrassment in heaven by being able to say, I sure did, John. You can't lie in heaven, you know. I sure did, John. A little long, but I like the conclusion. Nice job. You read the Bible to know what's in it. You study the Bible to apply its truths. So the third question is, how should we study the Bible then? How do we study the Scriptures, the Bible? Well, I think you look for things that you're interested in, number one, or concerned about, number two, or in need of, number three, or affected by, number four. And you go to the Bible for insight, for input, for wisdom and direction, personal interests. Boy, there's all kinds of things that the Bible touches on that probably you and I are interested in. If you haven't noticed, it's an election year. Interested in politics? I'll tell you what, the Bible's got a lot to say about it. We kind of hold to the idea that we need to separate church and state. That's not a biblical idea. Can't be found in Scripture. The state is one of three institutes of God. The other two is the church and marriage. And God has much to say about government, human governance. And we would be wise to see what he has to say and to call our politicians to account to the truth of God. That's an area of personal interest, perhaps, that you ought to take a second look at Scripture. How about concerns? Boy, health is usually one of the top concerns for many people. The Bible has so much information, a plethora of information about human health, the way that God has designed you to live. And I'm impressed with what the medical field calls psychosomatic connection to health, psychosomatic illnesses, psychosoma, mind-body connection. Because everywhere the Bible speaks to that, especially the book of Proverbs. How many of you read Reader's Digest? Read Reader's Digest. Anybody? Laughter is the best medicine. You ever seen that section? It's the only section one of my daughters reads. She goes straight to the joke section. Well, that's straight out of the Bible. You go to the book of Proverbs, especially chapter 15, and repetitively it tells you about the influence of your mind on your body. Scripture has much to say for an area that's concerning for all of us, our own physical health. How about needs? Reading the Bible to speak to or look for specific needs in our lives. Finances is a big one. There are tons of passages and principles encoded in Scripture that can clue you, guide you as to doing or living biblically in the financial scheme of things. I mentioned Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, is it 9 or 10 there? Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops, Solomon writes. Then will your barns be full to overflowing, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth, basic biblical principle on finances, and with the first fruits, not the last fruits. We'll see what's left, and if there's anything left, I think I'll give it to the mission or the ministry or to the pastor or to the church. The Bible says do that first, not last. And God says, I'll bless you. Your vats and your barns are going to overflow because of my blessing. Read the Bible as you study it according to personal interests, according to concerns, according to needs. Modern issues that affect our lives. Boy, the Bible has a lot to say. I just mentioned the life issue. It is clear and it sounds very clear as to the sanctity of life, the sanctity of human sexuality, the sanctity of marriage. all called into question in our culture today. And we're bowing to the winds of the culture, aren't we? Instead of the principles of God that He's given us in His Word. You know, since COVID-19, we have recorded in the social sciences and in the area of psychology higher indices of anxiety than has ever been seen, perhaps going all the way back to World War II era in America. People are nerved up like never before, angst. It's the spirit of the age, the zeitgeist of our culture, angst. And yet you go to the Bible, like Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30, and Jesus extends an invitation to the anxious. He says, come unto me, all ye who are what? Weary and burdened, or heavy laden is the old English. You're weighed down with anxiety, let me suggest. What do you do with that? Jesus says, come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. You'd think it'd be the opposite. If you yoke up to Jesus, He's going to lay it on you. No, your yoke is far heavier. One of the good reasons why you're upset and anxious is because you're carrying your own load instead of releasing that to God and getting in step with the Savior. And His promise from Matthew 11 there is, and you will find rest for your souls if you'll come unto Him. Such a relevant book in so many areas of our lives if we just give it a chance. Three questions that we invariably ask anytime we look at an issue, an area, a concern, or a need is, number one, does the Bible speak to this issue or area? And most often, frequently, if not most often, it does. Number two, second question, what does the Bible say? And then finally, number three, what does it do? What does it have to do with me? How does it apply to, does the Bible speak to this area? What does the Bible say, and how does it apply to me? We, at this church for 20-plus years, we provided what we call a daily disciplines guide. I put this together every week with you in mind, giving you something specific to read, typically that has to do with what we're studying as a congregation. You've got one of these in your bulletin this morning. I think this is an excellent tool. If you're interested in simple Bible study, personal Bible study, each day, 5 days of the week, there's a reading along with a prayer guide in different areas that you can pray for on any given day. And I asked my wife if she would share a little bit about her daily discipline of study. I've watched her study her Bible for 30-plus years. On a daily basis. I'm impressed with her own personal Bible study style and the impact it has on her life, and not only on her life, but the overflow it has on other people's lives. And so we've had testimonies of faith, if you recall, in February. I'd like to suggest a testimony of faithfulness, of how God can work as you faithfully look to Him in His Word. Kim, come up and share a little bit, if you would. In that direction.
I always grab one of these because I need these on a daily basis when I have time with the Lord. So it's appropriate, so prop. You know, the Lord's commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to be honest, when I first came to know the Lord, I knew I needed Him. I knew I was a sinner, and I came to Him because He offered salvation. But I did not know Him, and I didn't know how to know Him, and I didn't know how to love Him. If that was the greatest commandment, how do you love someone you don't know? I wanted to, and so I started praying. get that picture off. I can't look at that. You know, the group that we were involved in, the Christian organization, and they had little skills. They told you to plan it. Plan your time with the Lord. Don't just, you know, open it up and read wherever it falls. Now, I have done that, so I'm just telling you. God has spoken to me when the Bible has just fallen open. But I don't recommend it. I recommend getting in sync, planning your date with the Lord. And that's what it is. It's a date. You know, Jim and I fell in love in Argentina, and we started drinking this great drink. Requires water. And you put this little tea in. It's called mate. And every Argentine drinks mate. And it was an invitation to sit down and talk. The Argentines drink mate, and they talk, and they share, and they relate. There's a very community feel for the Argentines. And Jim and I adopted that culture for ourselves. But, you know, the Christians in Argentina, they drink mate in the morning while they're reading their Bibles. And I started doing that, too. Like, it's an invitation to slow down. Maybe you have a cup of coffee or whatever. An invitation to slow down. And I drink mate every morning with my Bible. And the other thing that happened is when Jim and I fell in love, I came back home. I met him over there. I came back home, and then he wrote me letters. Letters, letters, letters. We wrote so many letters for a year, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, we didn't have cell phones. We talked once a month, but I was desperate for those letters. At the University of South Carolina, you could get, the mail would come out twice a day. So guess how many times I went to my mailbox? Twice a day, because I never knew when they were coming. And I would pore over those letters, because in those letters, he was talking to me and telling me how much he loved me. Guys, we're about to embark on the letters of Paul. This is a love letter from God to you. There would be no way I would leave that letter from Jim unopened and go, oh, look, there it is. Look at it. Oh, he wrote me. I pored over those and pored over those and pored over. I memorized them. I had until the next one came, and then I would do that one. Then I'd go back and read. Guys, that's what the Bible is like. That's what we should be doing with the Bible. Loving the Word of God, because God will speak to us in that Word. So, sorry, I might take over the the time. So what do? I have several devotions that I do. I have my Bible. The main one is this one, my daily light. And I've done every devotion that is out there, all of them. I've done my utmost for his highest. I've done morning and evening Spurgeon. I've done everything in the course of 30 years. But this one is called the daily light, and it's just scripture. And it's my favorite. Because when we open the Word of God, he speaks. He wants to use his Word. And Jim goes, so what do you want to share, something from your journal? I'm like, no, because my words are not like God's Word. So I'm going to read today's and respond, because God loves for us to respond to him. We take in his Word. He speaks to us, but we don't just keep hearing and hearing and hearing. We talk back. We respond. We give in that relationship. It's a relationship we're developing with the Lord. So the first one, I'm going to invite you. Lord, we invite you. Thank you that you're everywhere. We don't have to ask you to come be with us because you're with us. But we do ask you to open up your Word to us and speak to our hearts. And we will respond. We will love you back. So March 10th, the Lord will provide. That's the opening one. The Lord will provide. That should give you a little click back to our study with Abraham and Jacob, Abraham and Isaac, him offering Isaac. The Lord will provide. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. The Lord has provided a burnt offering for you, for me. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Do you ever wonder if he's hearing your prayers? If he can save you? Or your family member that you're praying for? I do. Thank you, Lord, that your hand is not too short to save. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Oh, Lord, turn ungodliness away from Kim, from my brothers and sisters here. Happy is he, or she, who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That's what will make us happy, is we hope in the Lord our God. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. Do you fear him? His eye is on you. Isn't that wonderful? His eye is on me. On those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, and that would bring to mind, what things do I need? And I stop and I talk to that. Lord, well, you know, we really need a cheap car for Susie. She needs a car in Ohio. You know, and I just start talking to him about the things that I need. Maybe talking to him about the things that my friends need. Relating to him back and forth. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's my life verse. I love that verse. And every time I hear it, I go, ooh, yes. Jesus rocks. I love you, Lord. It makes me go crazy. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Does anybody fear? I have a lot of fears, and I have to go, I will not fear. Because that's just not Justin. He's gonna pull through for me. What can man do to me? The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. And sometimes I say to my heart, trust in him, trust in him. He is going to pull through. Remember this and remember that time. And oh, yeah, remember that time. Jesus, you are it. I'm helped. And therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. If with my song I will praise him. And sometimes a little song will come to mind. Our God is an awesome God, you rock. Or a hymn. Melissa, I can't tell you how many times your hymns that you choose on Sundays come through the next week. God uses them all the time. He relates to us. He loves us, and he wants us to love him back. I've studied and done a lot of studies that Jim's talking about. Our love for God is what he's after. Our trust in him. And as we study, we fall more and more in love with him. How could we not? He's wonderful. And he wants us, he invites us to spend time with him. So my friends, don't keep his love letter on the shelf. Read it, relate to him, trust him. He's got wonderful things to teach you. And I know I'm speaking to the choir, you know. But grab a Kleenex, grab a coffee, and sit down with your Lord.
Now you know why I married her. I don't think I can top that. Probably ought to close in prayer and go on out for coffee here. You have the opportunity, invitation from God to interact with him on a regular, ongoing, hopefully daily basis. And he's given you word. He's given you his word on that. And it's up to you and I to follow suit. In the next several months, I'd like to pick up on the Apostle Paul and consider the writings of Paul, his letters to the churches, and how they relate to us. Paul is called an apostle, apostelos in Greek, the words from called, apo from called, or called from, or called out. Jesus designated his disciples apostles. He called them and he sent them out to preach, as Mark tells us. And Paul wasn't always Paul, as you recall. He was Saul of Tarsus. That was his code name. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was converted into Paul. I'm going to leave it to you to find when that happens in the book of Acts, where his name is changed from the Jewish or Hebrew word Saul to the Greek translation Paul, as we know him today. And Paul was not a nice guy. He was a persecutor of the faith. He was a violent man. He was a blasphemer in his own words. But God had mercy on him as he acted in ignorance and unbelief, he tells Timothy. And he saved him. And he employed him in his service. He became what he is typically known as the apostle to the Gentiles. And the author of some 13 books of the Bible. Pretty significant individual. So let's kick off next week. We're going to look at his conversion and his commission. And we're going to look at a church that he came out of. It's interesting to look at the congregation where Paul grew in his faith and blossomed and ultimately was sent out as a missionary. A church called the Church at Antioch. Let's go there next week. And the week after, let's look at the missionary journeys in Acts. And then we're going to break into the New Testament books of Paul, or letters of Paul. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, etc. The different letters of the Apostle Paul. But where you're seated this morning, I'd like to ask you in conclusion just a couple of questions. Are you a student of something? What do you study? What have you studied? What are you a student of? I asked a missionary years ago in Uruguay. I was just finishing my college career and visiting a friend there in Montevideo, Uruguay. I asked him, I said, if you could give a word of advice to a young guy like me, 20, 21 years old, what would your advice be? And without hesitation, Ned Collingridge told me this. He said, become a student of the Word. Become a student of the Word. And he added these words, for life. Become a student of the Word of God for life. Spend your life studying this book. I've never forgotten those words. I've took them to heart, and I've tried to live up to that challenge. And I leave it with you this morning. If I could give you one word of advice, it flows all the way back from 1983, Montevideo, Uruguay, a man named Ned Collingridge in his living room when he told me, become a student of the Word for life. Choose to study the Bible. Make that choice if you haven't already. Secondly, get a good translation of the Bible. There's all kinds of different versions or translations of the Bible. I suggested four there in your outline this morning. A study Bible, technically, is a Bible that has study helps. And so you'll find that the pages oftentimes are divided with the text and then some references at the bottom, usually, of the page that deal with different verses, maybe that are hard to understand or connections of that verse to someplace else. That's called a study Bible. And when you buy a Bible, if you ask there at a bookstore if they have any study Bibles, they'll show them to you. The versions that I would recommend, although there's a plethora of versions, for those of you who are King James fans, I think the New King James Version is an excellent version of the Bible, if you prefer the King James Version. I started in the New International Version back in 1978 or 79 when it had just come off the press, the 1978 version of the New International Bible, and I stayed with that version most of my life. In the seminary I went to, they studied the New American Standard. That was a requisite that the students in that school should have and use the New American Standard, NAS, which is an excellent translation of the Bible. My sons, both of whom are pastors, prefer the ESV. I've never read the ESV version. They swear by it. They think it's an excellent version of the Bible, the ESV, the English Standard Version. So there's four that I would recommend if you're not sure about or don't have your own personal version of the Bible and you want to do a little research. An NIV, an ESV, an NAS, or a New King James Version, I think, are good study Bibles to procure. And then thirdly and finally, why don't you join us in this study next several months here? Let's read together the book of Acts. This week, I'm going to take you from the conversion of the Apostle Paul up through Peter's ministry, or the final, the culmination of the works of Peter, as Luke in Acts records it, chapter 12 of Acts. Next week, we'll start looking, or the week after, we'll start looking at some of the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. Finishing Acts, we're going into the epistles, the writings or the letters of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. And we'll pick them off one by one, week by week. We'll read through that book of the Bible, and then we'll talk about it on Sunday morning. We'll kind of draw out the conclusions or survey of what was in that book and its pertinence, its relevance to us as a church today. Would you do that with me? Are you up for a challenge? Where you're seated, let's pray, and let's thank the Lord for this morning. Let's ask him to move us, as Kim suggested, to a greater sense of love for him. And out of love, a desire to know his word, his truth, the instructions he's given us for life on planet Earth. Lord, we thank you for just that this morning, your word. We want to learn what you tell us, the revelation of God, the message of salvation, the wisdom that you have for us to live life. We want to learn how to study the Bible for ourselves, to know what's in it and how it applies to each of us. And we want to look at our own interests and concerns and needs and modern issues from a viewpoint of Scripture, as you teach us to do that. And in so doing, Lord, I pray that you would discipline us, that you would help us to be disciplined, diligent, developing our own personal devotional life in your word. Thank you for the opportunity you've given us as a church to do just that. And as we break into the New Testament here in the coming weeks and months, may its relevance be obvious to all of us. And may, as you have told us, may it teach and rebuke and correct and train us for righteousness, to live right the way that you've intended us to live. That's our prayer this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, Design for Life. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. You will find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless.